This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of World Wide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
Good evening. It is World Wide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe one country at a time. It's a full house in the studio tonight. Paul is here.
Hello.
Hello, Dean.
G'day.
Damien's pushing the buttons.
Hello.
And my name is Matt. The world over, the rainbow flag is a symbol of the LGBTI community. Its diversity, its vibrancy, its colour, and even its defiance. The internationally recognised symbol was born in a period of protest, but has stayed on as an icon of gay pride.
Why was it so important to create a symbol of gay solidarity in the 1970s?
What does each individual colour mean?
What has changed from the initial design to the one we see and wave today? Remembering the creator of this iconic symbol who passed away in America this week, tonight we hear how the flag came about from interviews with the man himself, Gilbert Baker. Here's a taste of what you have coming up tonight.
A true flag isn't designed. It's torn from the soul of the people. What makes a flag different than a logo or really any other work of art is the way that people project onto it their own values and their own ideas. They are a form of free speech. You put up a flag on your house, you put it on a bumper sticker, you wear your t-shirt to school. You're saying something. It's a direct action that people are taking all around the world today with the rainbow flag.
Hi, this is Patrick Smith, International Mr. Leather on World Wide Wave.
Like a rainbow.
Ah, Cyndi Lauper with True Colours.
Don't you love her?
As if any of our listeners don't know that song off by heart.
That's true. And there have been so many remixes over the years as well. But that's the original. Well, is
the original?
The original
by Cyndi Lauper.
Right.
Yes. But that is the theme for the songs this night, is colours and rainbows.
Because we are talking about the death this past week of the creator of the rainbow flag, Gilbert Baker.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
So the modern rainbow flag that we see and know quite well was created in 1978, and it's commonly known as the Pride flag or the LGBT flag. It's the symbol of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people worldwide.
It was a bit different when it first started, wasn't it? It was different colours.
It had eight colours.
It had pink for sex, red for life, orange for healing, yellow for sunlight, green for nature, blue for art, and indigo for harmony, and violet for human spirit.
And I think I remember hearing one of the, in doing research for tonight, Gilbert also mentioned the word magic, sort of, I forget which, I think it was indigo actually.
It was
harmony and magic. It's like quite a spiritual component to the design.
But of course, commerce stepped in.
Yes, they ran out of one colour.
They did. So when he wanted to manufacture the flag for sale, hot pink wasn't as available as the other colours, so that just got the boot, and they dropped to seven colours. And then later on, indigo, spiritual as it is, got the boot because they needed to maintain an even number. So that's why we've got six colours.
Well, there you go. Now, in 1978, in November 1978, Harvey Milk, who was the elected supervisor for the San Francisco City area, you might have seen the various films and documentaries and all that, was prior to his assassination, he made a personal request of Gilbert to have a look at a symbol that could help unify people. And they'd sort of been working in this space of the pink triangle was the only sort of symbol of solidarity, and that was...
That has rather nasty connotations.
Yeah, it sort of came out of World War II and Nazi Germany, so they wanted a new symbol. And so he went about designing this flag, which we now know. Indeed, that last that flag just a couple of years ago was accepted into the Museum of Modern Art as a symbol, as a part of their collection, and that's a really big step.
Not just that. In 2015, the White House was illuminated in the rainbow flag colours, much to the wailing and gnashing of teeth from the Republican Party, to commemorate the legalisation of marriage equality in all 50 US states following the Supreme Court decision.
I wonder if we can get a repeat on that.
Or not for at least 3.5 years.
Wonder if that will happen on the Australian Parliament when marriage equality
passes. I don't think
I've
got enough lamps for that.
Now, Gilbert himself, he's a country boy born in Kansas, and his grandmother owned a women's clothing store. His father was a judge, his mother was a teacher. I think he obviously got this interest in fabric and design from his grandmother.
And he served in the US Army for 2 years, from 70 to 72, was stationed in San Francisco, and then got honourably discharged at the age of 21. And he remained in San Francisco, bought a sewing machine, and taught himself to sew by making his own drag clothes, using his skill to create banners for gay rights and anti-war protest marches. And the rest is history.
Well, when he created the rainbow flag in 1978, he actually refused to trademark it. Mm. So it's free for everyone.
It's for everybody's use. How nice. And he passed away this past week in New York, so we thought we'd take a look into his life and his inspiration behind the rainbow flag.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427-JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Now, the 1970s in America was full of protest against the Vietnam War, in support of women's rights, black rights, and the first seeds of gay rights. San Francisco was the epicentre of gay rights pretty much around the world, or certainly the most vocal, and it was at the time the home of Gilbert Baker. In this environment, a man who enjoyed playing with fabric and dressing quite outlandishly created a symbol that would survive generations, the rainbow flag. Here Gilbert talks about his first ideas for a flag.
Up until the rainbow flag, the pink triangle was the dominant symbol for our movement. But it was negative. It had a depressing origin. You know, Holocaust and murder was put on us by Hitler. We needed something from us. A true flag isn't designed. It's torn from the soul of the people. What makes a flag different than a logo or really any other work of art is the way that people project onto it their own values and their own ideas. They are a form of free speech. You put up a flag on your house, you put it on a bumper sticker, you wear your t-shirt to school, you're saying something. It's a direct action that people are taking all around the world today with the rainbow flag. I hear stories from people in all corners of the world where they're not free to be open, to join together openly. And, you know, they have to hide and they dare not, you know, share who they are with anyone. So I hear those stories, you know, from people getting arrested in Moscow, you know, the first ever gay pride a few days ago in China, you know, they carried a rainbow flag. And so I hear their stories about, you know, they put up a rainbow flag and, you know, they have a rainbow kite festival in Sri Lanka, you know, their flags are up in, you know, Warsaw, and in places where putting up a rainbow flag makes you a target. I mean, that's really brave and courageous on their part. So I'm keenly involved in the ongoing international struggle for gay rights. You know, when people use the word community today, it doesn't have the same meaning that it had back in the 70s. So literally we were, you know, building neighborhoods, you know, living together and, you know, actually, you know, physically in the same neighborhoods, you know, community. Now I think that that's probably better replaced by population. The diversity of our movement is that we're everywhere. We're in every town. We're in every city. We're in every family. You know, we're here. We're clear. We're not going away. And I think it's important for us to take to the streets. I think this gay pride season, you know, there'll be millions and millions of us, you know, partying and celebrating out in the streets of many, many cities across the United States. But there's a time for that, and there's a time to rage and to resist, and that's today. Now's not the time to just sit back and, you know, have a cocktail. It's time to, you know, have a double espresso, get on your walking shoes, get your talking points, and get on the bus.
That was Gilbert Baker, the creator of the rainbow flag. Coming up, Gilbert tells us why a flag was such an emotional power. You're on World Wide Wave.
Joy, 94.9.
Hi, this is Costa Gavrilidis, the president of Accept LGBT Cyprus, and you're on the World Wide Wave.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight we are looking at the Rainbow Pride flag following the death of its creator this week, Gilbert Baker. Message has come in on 0427JOY949. Thanks, Florence. Florence's mum is a doctor and her symbol was the Greek letter lambda during the 70s in New York.
Which is the 11th letter of the Greek alphabet. Looks like an upside-down Y. Those of you who play Half-Life will be familiar with it. And it was selected as a symbol by the Gay Activists Alliance of New York in 1970 and declared the international symbol for gay and lesbian rights by the International Gay Rights Congress in Edinburgh, Scotland in 1974.
Wow, did not know that.
There you go. So that's the precursor to the rainbow flag, but it probably wouldn't sell as many T-shirts.
It's funny, actually, because I've been reading the book, that the TV series has just come out, When We Rise. I've been reading the book, and it's Cleve Jones, who's one of the activists from the 70s, wrote the book. The very day before Gilbert died, I got to that point in the book where they were talking about the first time the flag was unfurled, and it was at one of their protests. And he talks in the book about there was just this instant recognition. It did not need to be explained. People just went, yeah, that's it, that's it. So they'd been searching for this symbol for quite a long time, and just everybody went, yeah, that's it.
Well, who doesn't like bright colours?
It's a shame they had to lose the hot pink, I think.
I know. It does seem a little odd, doesn't it? But, oh, well, those hot pink manufacturers that let us down back in the day.
Another message in on 0427JOY949. Thanks, 317. For my generation, it's the marriage equality symbol. Each generation has their symbol. Let's hope we don't need any specific symbol to be whatever we want in the future. Just be yourself and live life. Each generation has their symbol. Do you think it changes? Some symbols must stay. I mean, this one has certainly gone beyond a generation.
I think one of the reasons why the rainbow flag has endured is because it translates into other formats. So it's a rectangle, so it doesn't matter what app you come up with or when the internet was invented.
The sticker on the store of the shop that says, hey, I'm gay friendly.
Exactly. You know, it's so elegant that you can use it in almost any format. Like I was saying, T-shirts, you know, hats.
The concept, though, has also been expanded to include other flags. That, you know, they've got the trans flag, which also has bars, and you've got
the bear flag,
which incorporates the rainbow motif.
Yep.
And it's also not necessarily the symbol that changes, but the context of it or what it means. So applying it to marriage equality here. Interesting. Love those messages. Keep them coming in. 0427JOY949 or onair at joy.org.au. Now, tonight we're talking all things rainbow flag and the creator of the flag, Gilbert Baker.
Yeah, so Gilbert Baker passed away in America this week, and he's told his story many times, but here he gets personal on how his life growing up influenced the creation of this international symbol of LGBTI solidarity.
The flag really is, for me, is about my love of fabric, my love of sewing, my love of fashion, my love of fabric, really. And even as a child, I loved dressing up and playing with fabric, and it was just something I felt joyful doing. And I always loved parades, you know, I was in the band, and so I always kind of loved that idea of celebration and the way that fabric actually fits into the... It's an element of public celebration and joy. So for me, it was always a big thing. And then, of course, growing up in the Midwest, under the most horrible of circumstances, that was all, of course, suppressed. And it never really came back to me until after I got out of the Army. And then when I got out of the Army in San Francisco, it was like liberation, 1970. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I really learned sew, when I finally took all of my love for that and turned it into a skill that I could use to express myself. And, you know, it started, you know, with me making, you know, rock and roll clothes that were terrible and flashy. You know, 1970, you know, I'm running around to see all the rock shows. And then I kind of got lucky. I had a couple of friends gave me, my friend Mary and then later my friend James, and they actually gave me a little bit of a they had more experience. They're selling this like music. It's hard, and you have to really concentrate. It's a wonderful craft. So anyway, I worked really hard learning it for like 5 or 6 years to get better and better and better and better. And so by like the mid-70s, just as like the gay rights explosion happened, 74, 75, and in particular 76 and 7, up to 78 even past. But in those early, early years, we would have, protest marches, and there would be a gay pride parade. And so I began to use my sewing and my love of fabric to make banners, because I'm a student of history. Certain things are very influential. Music, film, and history is very influential. And of course, we just watched the, I think the Cultural Revolution in China was pivotal. Because when we saw all those images of like a million people carrying red flags and this whole Maoist thing, it was very kind of Nazi in its origin, and this very regimented thing. It really made an impression on me because it was kind of similar, but shattered into a completely a different view in the way that we were watching like these mass protests in America against the Vietnam War all around the same time, which were not regimented, which was crazy hippies and love beads and 1,000 different posters and flags and kind of a jumble, but yet still, because of the mass and because of the visual elements that the people were bringing to it, really fascinated me. And so that's around the same time I met Harvey Milk and Cleve Jones and all my, early San Francisco activists, also feeling the same way, like we all had something to give, that we all had some talent or skill or whatever to put into making our movement grow. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it happened. And then, like, 76... By then I was full on fabulous. I mean, I lived the whole year in high heels. I wore nothing but the most fabulous design dresses. I was awesome. It was also the bicentennial of America, 1976. The American flag began to play a very big role in advertising and fashion and all kinds of art and, Jasper John, everything, American flag. And it really made an impression on me that flags as a fabric, that flags have a distinct power that fashion doesn't have, that they're unique. And I began to look at the American flag thinking, oh my gosh, we're a kind of a people, we're kind of a tribe, we're kind of a not nation, we were very anti-nationalist there, in the 70s. So, it was all, but still at the same time, seeing how the American flag was being used as propaganda, as information, as a channel, it was an amazing thing to wake up, and all of a sudden, in particular 1976, it was on everything, from the tackiest souvenirs and the most insulting, political ads, and to the most sublime art. And so that really made an impression on me, 1976. But I still was making my gay power now, and of course we were still using the pink triangle, which was from the Holocaust. Then comes 1978. So that was such a success. I thought, well, I have to do something more and more incredible. And that's when I really thought, okay, well, wait a minute. Look at all these flagpoles. Look at all these flags and the way flags in particular are loved. And I thought, well, okay, we should have a flag. And I had made flags before, but I thought, no, we need something that we can use as a, like the American flag, where it becomes everything. It becomes logos and names and other art, and just it translates endlessly. So, and just as I was starting to think about that, I saw a lot of film, I listened to a lot of music, and it really just sort of felt to me that the rainbow fit us. It just, when I started thinking about, okay, I'm going to make a flag, I didn't really think much. I had one idea. I'll make a rainbow. And I thought that fit us as a people, because it's all the colors, as we are, all the colors. I like the idea of using something from nature, magical from nature, to be the symbol of our sexuality as a human right and total for everybody. I thought that was really good. And then the rainbow is a natural flag. It's from the sky. So it's perfect. And it works in every language. It doesn't need to be a word. It's a thing. And that's how it happened. I just sat down one day and made a rainbow flag, a big one, a beautiful one.
That's Gilbert Baker, creator of the Rainbow Flag. And we're talking about it on World Wide Wave with Damien, Matt, Paul and Dean tonight, since he passed away last week.
One of the other clips I was listening to preparing, he talks about he always had this interest in fashion, and as we mentioned, his grandmother was involved in dressmaking and all that sort of stuff. And he said, you know, I was always fascinated by fashion, but I just wasn't a good designer. So I went into flags, and he actually made a bit of a, a bit of a career for himself. Worked for 10 years creating or working in the flag industry. So he sort of had that whole.
How much work is there in the flag making?
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how
if you get it right.
Yes,
it's great.
I wonder if he actually realised when he was doing this how it would take off and it basically be on everything and anything.
He might not have made it public domain if he'd realised how much sweet, sweet flag money he would have been able to make.
I don't think you could at that time. I think it's important for people to think about what a different environment 1970s was worldwide. No such thing as the internet or anything, but also particularly in America, so where there's this groundswell. I was trying to, when we have a protest here, it's very polite. You apply for a permit and they tell you which streets to walk down, and you have a few banners and a megaphone and off you go. They were having protests all the time, massive marches on the parliament in America, on the White House, hundreds of thousands of people and all manner of protests. So to bring people together, I love that last bit when he was talking about you didn't need words. With a flag, you don't need words. It's just there, and then people sort of put their vision, their hopes, their ideas onto that symbol without any words. Do you think we've become too soft? Let's look at, marriage equality here. Have we become too polite with it? Should we be protesting more?
I think protests don't necessarily have the impact that they might have had back in the 70s. I mean, Barney Frank, who was the first openly gay senator in the United States, has talked about how he doesn't agree with protests. And his argument is that the NRA, the National Rifle Association in the United States, never marches and they always get what they want. So he says that it can have an impact in terms of a groundswell.
I think that's called bribery, though.
Yes, they've got money behind them, a lot of money behind them.
That's true. I think that it works as a genuine groundswell of sort of community anger and frustration, like Black Lives Matter, for example.
Or which the poll tax in the UK.
Or exactly, the poll tax, where people are just as mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore. But I think when it's a bit more, I don't know, this might sound a bit pejorative, but a bit more stage-managed, I don't know if it has quite the impact anymore.
If they're stage-managed, are they actually protests? Because they're sort of just marches. You're just doing it in
media opportunities more than a protest.
You've got police escort at the front, police escort at the back. And
you're slotted in between 3 and 4 before the vegan protest and the next one. Catherine has messaged in on 0427 join 949. Thanks, Catherine. Seeing the rainbow flag painted on the road in the Castro, such a moving symbol, and a beautiful town with flags everywhere. Love the history of the flag. Now, the flag itself, when it was painted on the crossing in Sydney, caused uproar, mainly because people were sort of laying down on the road to get their photo taken. not the wisest thing to do, but it ended up being ripped up and, people
got very
upset.
Wasn't that because
it
had the wrong kind of paint on it? Isn't that one story, that they had the wrong kind
of paint? Well, and also you've got Casino Mike at the time, who was, people were making jokes about, and in Sydney you could barely cross the road without getting a fine. So, yeah.
But you look, that same sort of thing has now happened all over the world. Many other cities have put that rainbow flag as a permanent feature of their own town. So I guess reclaiming space with the flag.
Is it reclaiming or is it cashing in on the flag?
Ooh, there can be a bit of that though, can't there? The pink dollar?
Mm-hmm. I do wonder, with all these shops that have the flag or the symbol outside, how friendly are they?
Well, let's remember there was no pink dollar in the 1970s, or to speak of anyway. So back then when the flag was created, no one knew that it was going to turn into an industry. But if you've been to Daylesford, then, you know, it's rainbows as far as the eye can see.
Another message in. Florence says, what an interesting story. It was radical and awesome. Let's not forget the sacrifices they made that enable us to have the freedom today and change minds through art and culture. Totally agree, Florence. I always love when people, when artistic people get involved in things and they just bring a completely different angle to an argument or a story. And, you know, it's something that I'm probably not strong in. So I think I appreciate it in others who can show it in photography or fashion design or, you know.
Do we think the symbol will continue? I mean, it's been around for 30-odd years. Will it continue on? I mean, one of our messengers, one of our listeners suggested we don't need symbols anymore or shouldn't need symbols anymore.
Yes. I think it will. I think it will because something we always talk about on this show is it's easy to forget how far in advance in LGBTI rights we are compared to a lot of other countries. So to us, some of us might think the rainbow flag is old hat, but then if you talk about, say, Hungary or
anywhere
Egypt
in Africa,
or, you know, yeah, most of Africa, it's very much the right, the ability to be able to wave the flag without being, you know, beaten up or shot or worse is something that they hold dear and would dearly love to have.
Now, coming up, we're also going to take a sneak peek inside the Hanoi Mardi Gras and a place where LGBT rights are just beginning. You're on World Wide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to World Wide Wave. Lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9. And you light me up like gasoline. I'm
dying with any fire. That was Conchita Wurst with Colours of My Love. More colour song, and there's no one to come at the end.
As we talk about the colours of the rainbow tonight, lots of messages coming in on 0427 Joy 949. Thanks, 317. I think Greece's protests did have significant changes in their country. If you become too complacent, rights are taken away by the elite. And Brad is taking us to task, saying the pink dollar wasn't there in the 70s, suggesting that even Harvey Milk was aware of how moving into the Castro traders had a market within the LGBTI community. Yes, thank you very much for those messages. Now, in the studio, we've got a couple of guests because we've got new roomies, new neighbours on the grid. Welcome to the team from Urban Dreaming, Sarumi and Miscellaneous.
Good evening. How are we all?
Miscellaneous, looking gorgeous tonight. Sir Rummy, sorry.
That's
sorry,
the one.
Sir Rummy. We'll get it right. It's the first night.
Yes.
There's a room in Sir Rummy, though, isn't there?
Well.
Urban Dreaming. So you have been around before, but on one of the late night slots. Tell us about the show. What's it about?
So basically, it's a show that I thought to myself, we need some more countrymen represented. So we don't have much of that. We're, you know, unfortunately, we're the minority, and we used to be the majority.
So we're talking indigenous countrymen?
Indigenous, yes. And I'm glad you said countrymen, by the way, because that's how I'd like to refer it to. but, yeah, generally, it's just a show that we have. We talk about two worlds, the mix of both white and black, you know, gay, straight, crossing, I guess, traditional with cultural and contemporary.
And I'm just here to bring the fabulous, really.
Yeah.
And really, it's about bringing the news and black views of from around the country. And, you know, there's going to be, we do talk about, you know, some heavy issues, things that are affecting our community out there, particularly the, you know, indigenous LGBTIQ community. But also, you know, having a little bit of, you know, black gossip in there, and you know, and last time we were on really late, so I'm actually quite nervous because there's probably going to be people listening this time
and messaging in, though.
And messaging in, I know.
Yes. Tell us what's on the show tonight.
So tonight we're going to have a very special guest. That's Aunty Carolyn Briggs, and she's actually from the Bun Wurrung Foundation. So Bun Wurrung, that's how you pronounce it.
Bun Wurrung.
She's an amazing elder, and she also is a CEO of the Bun Wurrung Foundation. And just a deadly all-rounder lady who's got many yarns to tell and just really interesting, you know, really. That's what we try to do. We try to get a lot of interesting people from the Indigenous and non-Indigenous backgrounds and to basically just talk about how we can make the world a better place.
That is Urban Dreaming, following us right here on Joy.
So a few weeks back, we mentioned that Vietnam held its first Mardi Gras in Hanoi, which was supported by the Australian embassy there. Saturday magazine spoke to Bob, who was at Hanoi. I volunteered on the project with a AusAid, thank you, and attended the event.
Hanoi's first ever Mardi Gras celebration. Fantastic.
So who organised it?
Well, believe it or not, it was organised, well, hosted and supported by the Australian government and also by the Australian Human Rights Commission. I spoke with both the ambassador last night, Craig Chitnick, and also a very impressive woman, Laura Sweeney. You guys may know her. She's a specialist LGBTI advisor with the Australian Human Rights Commission.
You posted some pictures up, Bob. Mum, it wasn't just tea and biscuits at the embassy, was it? It was an multicoloured light and sound show. And tell us about it.
Yeah, it was out on the lawn next to the embassy, so it was an outdoor show. It was actually very windy last night too, which added to the excitement of some of the costumes that were going up there in the wind. But the music and the lighting and the costumes were just absolutely fantastic. They had six main performers in costume there. And
draggy kind of costume?
The winner of it at the end of the night actually gets a trip to Sydney's Mardi Gras.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which as we all know has been a fantastic event.
These were local people that put on performances that were sympathetic and supportive of the kind of whole theme of Mardi Gras.
Yeah, and they were fantastic. You know, the work they put into the costumes, the work they put into the choreography and the music was just fantastic.
We think of Vietnam, we think of a communist country, we think of a fairly conservative community. Was it surprising to you that this community was so overt in this expression of Mardi Gras?
It certainly was, and I think many people in Australia wouldn't realise that Vietnam is actually one of the most tolerant countries in the Asia region regarding the LGBTI community. I was talking to a few people last night, and they said, you know, really Vietnam's up there with Thailand in terms of tolerance. Look, they still have a long way to go to end prejudice and achieve equality and all of that, but as we do in Australia. But, you know, this event, I'm certainly helping them on that journey.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
And another message on 0427 join 9 4 9. Loving all these messages coming through. Symbols have meaning, just like the Olympic flag and torch. It's a reminder of the humanity and our inclusive nature to respect our fellow man. What an uplifting way to finish off.
Yes, but they remembered to copyright theirs.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about the rainbow flag not being copyrighted is that it's gone everywhere and people are using it and loving it and waving it around. We have been talking all things rainbow flag tonight following the death of Gilbert Baker, who was the creator of the rainbow flag. You can still find out more about him at gilbertbaker.com. There's some great audio, videos, all sorts of things about his life and his contribution to the LGBTI world.
Speaking of audio and video about Gilbert Baker, we've posted a clip on our Facebook page, which is W3Joy, J-O-Y, on Facebook, and that went up probably about half an hour ago, and it's well worth watching, definitely. And thank you to everyone who's interacted with us on our Facebook page. Lucia, Kuhn, Marty, Tom, Kate, and a heap more. And thank you to everyone with your SMSs and emails tonight.
We'd, of course, like to thank our podcasters, that's Mark and Damien, and also on the front desk for taking all their calls.
And stay tuned, Urban Dreaming, brand new show, or actually returning show back on the grid, and our new neighbour with Surumi and Miscellaneous. And stick with us all night. Great shows coming up. Triple Bypass, Miss Shuttle Lines, which is a lovely show. Been there, done that. Their 751st show, which is just mind-boggling.
I love that show.
Aren't they good?
I love it.
And talking all things LGBTI history and magic portals right through. Just stay here all night, really.
And what song are we finishing off with tonight?
Well, Paul? What song could you finish off with when you have a show about rainbows?
Rainbow Connection. Over, by Kermit the Frog.
Over the Rainbow.
Oh.
This version is by Ricky
also
Leake.
Good.
We'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
When all the clouds darken up.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online across the world at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.